This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9.
Hello, and welcome to Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9, with Chris.
And Phil.
And me, Gordon. We're all here again.
Ho, ho, ho,
ho. Oh, stop it.
Howdy, ho, ho,
it's
ho.
Gardening chat. First of all, we ho.
And dig deep.
Oh, look, it's less than a week to go before Christmas, and boy, will I be glad when it's over and done with, so we don't have to put up with these ho, ho, ho jokes from
I
Phil.
I just want to get some Easter eggs.
They'll worry. Be out on the market before you know it.
Yep.
They certainly will be.
Actually, it's the hot cross buns.
The hot cross
buns. Oh, that gets me going again. They're cold cross buns. Yes, they're never hot.
I hate people that say they've got a hot water heater.
Do you?
Yeah, they've got a cold water heater. You don't have to heat the hot water.
Oh, really?
Oh, we're getting real pedantic. I think it's the Christmas spirit coming for some reason.
Oh, but look, I was shocked late last week to hear that terrible news about The Simpsons.
And Disney. Oh. I don't know if it's that horrible.
Long time ago, in one of their episodes, they predicted that 20th Century Fox would actually be taken over by Disney Corporation, and it has come to pass.
Well, Nostradamus was a writer for The Simpsons because they had Donald Trump as president years before we did.
Well, I think they ought to go and do something else and see when are they going to get rid of him.
Well, no, he was out of office because Lisa had just gone into office, and she said, what are we going to do with this deficit that President Trump left us?
The Simpsons are quite prophetic by the sound of it, the way they were able to do these sort of things way before it happened.
If only we could keep looking at the episodes, but they're off because they were on Channel 10. That's been bought out by CBS, mm-hmm. who is one of the other organisations in the US, but not. It doesn't have any rights to use them.
They can't use The Simpsons.
No.
Oh,
well,
right.
It was bought as a bundle, and that's part of the reason Channel 10 was in such debt, because the American networks, they apparently don't do it anymore, but you buy a hit show, you have to take all the crap shows with it.
Oh, right.
So they didn't have quite enough. Their hit-to-crap ratio wasn't very good.
Oh,
well,
dear.
But anyhow, as we were started off, we're coming up to Christmas, aren't we?
Yes, yes. And in case we forget at the end of the show, we hope every listener has a wonderful time. And I suppose we've got to be politically correct and say season's greetings.
A festive season.
And have a wonderful festive occasion.
Happy holidays.
Oh, happy holidays.
That's politically correct America speaking.
That's right, yes. They got a song called Happy Holiday.
But
Happy Holiday.
The funny thing is they don't give themselves holidays. They don't get Boxing Day. They get Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Yeah, but Boxing Day Boxing Day was a thing that actually started in England.
Yeah.
The Americans didn't.
Well, the Americans take all English customs and stomp on them. That's why they drive on the other side of the road and hold their fork in their right hand.
And see, they're cross and cranky, and they've still got all that pent up emotion.
Mm. Well, all the fish died in Boston Harbor because of the tea.
Tannin poisoning.
Yeah.
Is that real?
No, I made that up. I wasn't even invited to the tea party.
Oh, what? Not even to Alice's tea party.
No, she was on drugs. Bit worried about her tea party.
Done all your shopping?
I only have to buy one. I've done two presents. I've only got one more to go.
Yeah.
My partner and I don't share Christmas presents because he is not a Christian. So he's a Chinaman. So they don't believe in Christmas thing.
They believe in gifts. They make them all.
They make them all. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But we don't. We don't bother. We just have a nice time together, and that's about it. But family one, we only have Kris Kringle, so there's only one to buy for the family, so that was fine. And the rest of it are just presents.
Secret Santa and Kris Kringle, they're all a little bit of a racket, but they're appropriate for the office. At least you can sort of get in the routine there and buy one present and get one present.
Well, we have a chosen partner to buy for, which makes it just as easy. Yeah. So that,
we've been around so much, there's nothing left to give.
Yeah, well, that's your right. You're not rocking there.
Well, that's the whole problem these days, that on the first rubbish day after Christmas Day, the bins are full of all the wrappings and the tinsels and the plastic toys that have broken on the first use, and it's the burst pollution out.
But I was listening on the radio this morning about they were talking about Christmas and what sort of gifts to give and all the rest of them. Somebody said, what do you do if you're given a book that you've already read? And the lady who was sort of talking about it, she said, well, you have a cupboard where you keep all your gifts ready to be rewrap them and give them out, and you re-gift them to somebody that you hope hasn't read the book as well.
Well, as long as you don't give it to the person who gave you the book.
Yeah. I think you make a note to say who gave you this so you don't give it back to them, because that's happened where people have gifted back.
The thing with books is that you should actually put a label on them, please read me and pass on, and leave it in the train or on a seat in a public place.
If you left it on a train, a kid would come along, pick it up and say, what's this? Where do you plug it in?
Yeah.
I think it needs to be recharged.
Yeah, how do you turn the pages? Oh, look at the page. Something turns, yes.
My sister used to give books, but she'd always read them first. So you knew you were getting a second-hand gift.
That's one of my presents is always a gift voucher to a very dear friend of mine who's a book reader.
No, gift vouchers are actually quite useful.
Mm. Not as tacky as cash. But they get the job done.
Yeah,
they do. But they expire, so beware, people.
Oh, you definitely. Oh, thank you for reminding me. I've got one from leftover from last year that hasn't been used.
Well, one of the gifts that came to Australia in about 1859 on Christmas Day was something that was a great gift to the Australian countryside.
1859.
1859, yes. Rabbits were first introduced into Australia on Christmas Day in 1859. Wasn't that a good present?
That worked out well.
Like some of the other presents we've been given ourselves, like the cane toads and all the rest of it. Yes, we've done some very...
In the Northern Territory, the water buffalo.
They come from...
acacia bushes. The mimosas, some of those, they've gone feral. In fact, I think we exported one to the US into the Everglades area.
That was the...
I didn't.
To soak up all the moisture.
That was the one, the paper park tree, yeah. That's right. The one that was, yeah. Yeah, but we've...
So you've got to be careful with what you wish for.
They make books out of that, did they? Publish them as paperbacks.
You didn't even try that joke out on us beforehand, Phil. Thank you.
Oh, it's quite spontaneous.
But some of the Christmas traditions are totally stupid in our
climate.
Australian climate, yeah. Yes.
Like roast dinner.
No.
Oh, see, we take the food.
No, the roast. I love a roast dinner anywhere, even for breakfast.
I can remember when Christmas is in WA where I grew up, and that it'd be 42 degrees outside and you would have this hot meal and the oven would be going in the house and the house would be as hot as hell and ridiculous.
Yeah. Christmas.
Yeah, ridiculous. But they have now got round the thing. A lot of people have seafood and cold stuff, which is quite good.
It is useful. It's useful, but it's just not the same. How did you cope, Phil, in the US when you were there and coping with their season?
It was wonderful to have a cold Christmas. It just made so much sense after a lifetime of Christmas cards with snow. But I can confess now we killed a ficus tree. We put it out on the balcony. We were babysitting it for someone who shall remain nameless. And we had a cold snap in the Bay Area, and it got down to, I think, 20-something Fahrenheit.
Ooh.
And Mr. Ficus said, not playing anymore.
Mm. No, rubber trees they're tropical, of course.
They're tropical plant, yeah. Yes, but in 1980, I think it was, I had my first white Christmas when I was in Canada and they had their first snow in 35 years. And it dumped down. It was amazing. It was
Which city was that in?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Oh, right.
And it was even snowing on Vancouver Island, which is almost unheard of, because they had one of those vortexes that came through.
Yeah,
that would froze. Be vortices.
Vortices, okay.
It's plural of vortex.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, but a vortex came through and it snapped, froze the oranges in California, and it was just, it was beautiful. That's when you really appreciated the hot dinner.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Phil, I think we should be criticised for killing all those fir trees and pine trees here in Australia out of season.
Well, most of ours have been plastic. So we killed a lot of sea life from the oil.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a silly little bunch of customs.
It's an old pagan custom too.
Of course it
because is. The pine tree or the fir tree actually is, during winter, about the only thing that stays green. They don't have evergreen trees to have their leaves frozen off like your poor ficus.
So little baby Jesus was a pagan?
Did he
just jump in on the celebrations?
No, he was a Jew.
But you've got to remember that Christmas Day is the celebration of the soul, the 21st of December, which was a pagan custom before the Italians decided to, one of the Roman Caesars decided to make it become a Christian, and then he turned that
Saturnalia.
Into Saturnalia and all these sort of things.
So you're saying it's all fiction?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The best-selling fiction in the world.
Well, yeah. They even give them away.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's where it comes from. It's a celebration of the actual solstice, which is the 21st of December,
which is
the shortest day in the northern northern hemisphere,
and the longest day for us. So we've got less than the days are starting to get shorter from the middle of
the week before Christmas.
Yeah.
It's the shortest day, and then from then we start going back to winter.
22nd, 23rd.
21st, 22nd. It depends which way the sun...
Boy, you've really made that poem go really long now.
What's that?
It was a week before Christmas, all through the house. I've got to make up seven of these things.
But it all ends
with a Partridge Family Christmas album.
Oh, right. Okay.
In a pear tree.
And we've said already that how inappropriate for Australia it is to have snow and Christmassy cards. Have you got any Christmas cards?
Oh, I've got about...
Not very many this year.
Four or five, I think. Yeah.
I haven't had an e-card. That was hot for a while. Little animated Christmas cards come in your email. Died off.
No, they're still available.
Nobody sends me any.
You can still send them if you want.
Well, we've got Jess Mowboy and Human Nature. They're going to sing Sleigh Ride here on Joy 94.9 with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, that was a cute little version of Sleigh Ride.
And from Australian artists too.
But they were calling you a ding-a-ling.
Eh?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling. I can't get that out of my head.
Well, you'll be going home ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling, won't you?
Oh, I've been a ding-a-ling all my life.
but the sleds are a mode of transport.
Have you ever ridden one down, out of control, down a steep slope?
No, I haven't, really.
Is that the past tense of sleigh? Sled?
Sled.
How can it be called a sled? Because that's not current tense. So can you go for a sleigh ride in a sled?
I think a sleigh is drawn by horses, isn't it?
It is, usually.
And a sled is
horses can't even hold a pen. How are they going to draw a sleigh? Oh, I really, I've heard it all now. My horse can draw a sleigh. Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
No, and a sled is what you slide down the mountain on by yourself.
That's a ski.
No, that's a sled. A ski the is way one, you something do you put it on the foot.
Yeah, it looks more like surfing.
Oh, I'm sorry, we've drunk too much eggnog or something.
Oh, have we? What happens this time of the year, of course, everybody flies off to somewhere.
Well, most people, except you and I and Phil.
Well, I take the train to Blackburn. I don't know where you go.
I go to Hampton.
You're correct that so many people have to move cities just to be with their families
and
again.
All the rest of it, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's a family occasion. We have all this heavier-than-air aircraft that take us where we need to go.
And have it carry lots and lots of people
there
and stuff.
There was a time when there wasn't anything like that.
We go right back to the beginning of the last century.
That's because if man was meant to fly, he would have been given wings.
Flight's an amazing thing because it's whatever it is that holds the aeroplane up.
Well,
which is the vacuum that's caused by the air passing over
Leonardo
the curved wing.
Leonardo da Vinci, our dear gay scientist from long time before, he had various machines that were never actually put into practice. He never got them to work.
No, but he
had flying machines.
He invented a helicopter, actually. He had a helicopter.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that he said would lift people off the ground.
And I don't know whether he ever got a working model, but a lot of the things that he did have been reinterpreted in modern times and with our knowledge of lift and aerodynamics and things like this. And some of his original ideas
actually work.
Actually do work.
Mm, yeah, I saw they did a documentary of that on SBS at one stage with that and what it was.
Well, there was, in recent times, the easiest way to get off the ground was to use a balloon.
Yes.
Balloons. Mm. And then they decided that the variability of direction control in a balloon was left a little bit to be desired.
But they were selling 80-day packages.
Oh,
were
right.
They? Around the world in 80 days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. An Australian that did it was Hargraves, who built box kites, who realised that a kite, he realised how a kite flew, and he wondered what would happen if he made it into a box shape with more paper or fabric or whatever, that would the wind would get up under it and lift it.
Right. So,
and he took off. He was able to be lifted by the box kite. So he knew that unpowered, but he knew he could lift into the air. Well, that was the start of it all. And if the two Wright brothers in America stole that idea and decided to put an engine to it, or tried to put an engine to it, to the box kite.
But I think there's a bit of a dispute about who was actually the first to fly a motorized craft.
Well, it's, there may not be huge, well, I know there's lots of discussions on who might have been first, but I think we need to define controlled flight.
Rather,
because unless you've got some say in where you're going, I'm not too sure if that's flight, being dragged along or supported by a device like a kite.
Yeah, the Wright brothers just sort of flew in one sort of direction for about 100 metres or something.
And that was technically powered flight. There were other people who actually weren't flying kites, they were actually flying aircraft that use the theory that we're flying with today, and they had the ability to turn and change their direction.
Yeah, because kites have been around for thousands of years.
Yeah, and they can only go in a straight line, but they can't turn them.
But Mr. Gustav Whitehead, who was a German who migrated to America, he actually, it's been proven that he actually flew a powered aircraft in 1901, 2 years before the Wright brothers. But he's never given any credit for it, except in Wings magazine.
It was always been stated that the Wright brothers were first, so they must have been a good publicist.
They were self-promoters.
Yeah. Self-promoters.
And they sued everybody who tried to patent anything to do with flight. So, in effect...
That's very nice.
Oh, they were not very nice men from a documentary I saw. But they spent the rest of their business lives preventing anybody else from actually getting somewhere.
And then they gave their flight machine to the Smithsonian Institute.
Well, Orville didn't do that for decades.
No, I know, but then the Smithsonian Institute have been denigrating Gustav Whitehead because they didn't want to pull anything down on the
They don't want to devalue their
display. They don't want to devalue the display of the Wright brothers.
But the Wright Flyer is hanging in the Air and Space Museum, which is one of my favourite places on the planet. And the fact they can just walk in and see an Apollo landing module or just things that... DC-3 is hanging from the ceiling.
And there might be more too, because Mr. Trump said that they were going to go back to the moon and possibly on to Mars. Do you think he could be on the first flight?
Well, they could use him as fuel.
But the Wright
brothers' plane has actually been to the moon. Neil Armstrong took a bit of the muslin from the left wing and a bit of wood from a propeller and took it to the moon.
Oh, right. Okay, good. Well, that's taking it to the nth degree then, isn't it?
Literally taking it to the moon.
The furthest they've ever flown, I can tell you.
I think Donald should be one of the first volunteers to go to the moon. Or Mars.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah.
On the 18th of November 1987, 31 people were killed when fire broke out in the London Underground. And it was caused actually by a wooden escalator burning.
But it had
been started from a fire in fluff and dust and rubbish.
It's accumulated underneath the escalator and never cleaned.
And somebody probably dropped a lighted cigarette through the wooden slats of the escalator, because they were quite wide slats on the escalators and the wooden ones, if you can remember them. And it probably started the fire that went racing up the escalator and killed all these people.
I think there's wooden escalators in Sydney.
They've just been retired.
Have they?
Why would you put tyres on an escalator?
Oh, I was going to ask about the London fire. Did it go up the escalator or did it go down the escalator?
I would have thought it went up because the draft would have been taking it up to the thing.
So you couldn't have burnt the down escalator?
Probably not.
Okay, just sort of clear that up. Yes, but what station was it? Wynyard.
Which
is a really dark and dismal station.
Yes.
Well, it was when I was there.
Yeah.
But, yes, they've ripped out the steps and turned them into, it's not a mural, is it? It's a hanging sculpture.
Yeah, let's call it a hanging sculpture.
It looks like the ABC signal or the symbol.
Oh, the infinity symbol.
Yeah, sort of twisted amongst itself. It's very beautiful.
Is it?
It looks much better than an escalator.
Well, better than just an open space. Let's hope it hangs up there. Golly gosh, let's clap our hands with Sia. You're on Joy.
It's her birthday this week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. When? When was her birthday? Back on the 18th?
The 18th. We wouldn't know if we saw her walking down the street because nobody knows what she looks like.
I know the wig.
The wigs and all the rest of the things she wears, yeah.
She's got a public place, but she wants to remain private.
Yeah.
But she left it a bit late because there were early clips with her face showing. So unless she's been horribly disfigured, we won't know.
Oh, here she comes. She's got another 15 seconds before she starts singing.
All right. How do we know when we see her?
We don't.
We don't see her, we hear her.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Phil.
Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
This Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
You can.
How?
What? You can go to iTunes.
Yeah.
You can go to our webpage.
Yeah.
Which is joy.org.au.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you really suck, you can send us an email.
Okay.
But beenthere@joy.org.au.
Right. That's how the lovely listener can contact us.
Give us the feedback to tell us how good we are.
Or tell us how stupid we are.
Well, we know that.
We know that, yes.
If we need confirmation, you can send it in.
If you want to confirm our thoughts on that.
You might wish to give us season's greetings. Happy holidays.
What sort of seasoning would that be? Salt and pepper?
Well, no, I don't think we've got them in DPO.
Oh, haven't we? Oh, okay. Well, you've got PO so. Pepper.
As I said, too much of the eggnog, I think. Too much of the eggnog.
Well, I tell you what, somebody that's had too much of the eggnog, because on the 19th of December, way back in 1843, was one of the greatest Christmas stories ever was printed.
That would be A Christmas Carol?
By Charles Dickens, yes. He, on the 19th of December, he wrote the
and,
he
and
had it first
published.
And what
was the theme of the story?
Oh, some old guy that didn't like Christmas and the...
Is that where the original Grinch... Oh, comes
probably,
from?
Probably.
Well, was Scrooge a Grinch?
Well, no, but Scrooge was a Scrooge.
Yeah, that's where the word Scrooge comes from, where you don't want to spend any money, you don't want to do anything and all the rest of it, blah, blah, blah.
I thought he didn't like those candies, the humbug.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, black and whites.
Yes, that's
world
right.
Lollies.
Yeah.
I didn't like them either.
But then the ghost of past, present and future comes and takes him on a little bit of a journey.
What was Dickens' idea of writing that particular story?
I'm not sure. It's.
I think it was social commentary.
It's social commentary, of course, because there was Tiny Tim and all the rest of the people in the poorhouse, and how that they were doing it tough, while Mr. Scrooge was sitting back in his big, lovely old house, doing nothing for anybody. Yes, and I think that's the. I think it might have been a comment on the political scene at the time.
I was very confused when I first heard that Tiny Tim was in the story because. I knew him as singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. And that's the only Tiny Tim I knew of.
No, that Tiny Tim, the singing one, was Tiny Tim 2.
The sequel. As well and also.
So that's Tim Tim 2.0.
As people now say, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but The Christmas Carol is such a classic in writing when you read it and realise what Dickens was getting at, because he was a very socially minded man, because he worked in his younger days as a bootblack in a bootblack factory making the polish to put on shoes, because he had to do that to get his father and mother out of jail. They were in debtor's prison.
Debtor's prison. Mm. Isn't that interesting? Mm. We don't have those these days, do we?
No, I
people
think they're
don't
called
go
banks.
To jail. Oh, no. People don't go to jail anymore for unpaid debts. Mm. I think they just get a bad credit rating and they bankrupt. And
it depends how much you've taken everybody for, whether you go to jail, I think, and in what circumstances.
Mm.
But in those days, of course, they had the debtor's prisons, which they would put people in. And then you had to work to pay to get them out again.
Yeah. And there was also the poor houses, and they were basically barrack accommodation for those who couldn't afford a roof over their head.
Mm, it's a bit something like in Australia at the moment. There are so many people waiting for housing in Australia. It's unbelievable.
So many things are old, are still current. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't solved that problem.
No.
But Charles Dickens, he was a wonderful wordsmith. He had a way with words. And, of course, a lot of his stories have become the basis of films.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not recent films, but they were converted well.
There is hardly a cartoon series or sitcom that hasn't done a version of A Christmas Carol.
That's right. Yeah.
Including The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could imagine The Simpsons one would have been a bit hysterical. This is the first one that he actually printed as a whole thing, because all of his other books were printed in chapters.
Serialised,
yes. They were actual serials. Christmas Carol was one book.
Someone else that is rather a good teller of stories had a birthday back on the 16th of December, and they were born in 1899, a couple of centuries ago, I know.
Oh.
But Noel Coward, later to be Sir Noel Coward. He was a UK playwright, actor, singer-songwriter, and he was gay, very, very gay. But he had a way with words, and he created lots of little songs that made words have lots of meanings, double meanings sometimes, triple meanings. He wasn't necessarily naughty, but he played with the language, and I think our language, our vocabularies are being reduced down to a smaller and smaller dictionary of words that we use in all everyday life.
Well, we're
life.
Becoming Americanized, which is the thing, you know, with the way they speak.
We could use their dictionary as well, but I think that with texting, we've limited 140 characters, or 280 if you can be bothered these days. And we get all the jargon that keeps occurring, business jargon.
We've been brought up like you and I with a good English teacher that spoke, taught you how to speak properly, use the words, talk proper, and use the apostrophe where it's supposed to be and all the rest of it. You when you read newspapers these days, it gets a bit hard.
We had trouble every time we wished to use the little boy's room.
All right.
Because you'd ask the English teacher, can I go to the toilet? And he said, I'm sure you can, but I'm not sure if you may.
Yes, that's right.
He says, you're not asking about your ability to go, are you?
Well, we had the joke at school. When I put my hand up like this, what does it mean? Well, if you're a policeman, it's must stop, can't go. But if you're in the classroom, it's must go, can't stop.
Did people, I suppose children, still put up their hands to want to leave the room?
Well, it's a good...
It seems to be...
It's a good signal to everybody else that something needs to happen. Mm. Or I often get in discussion groups and I always indicate my desire to speak by raising my hand rather than talking over the top of someone else.
That's what we do here, don't we?
Hello?
We raise a hand when we want to speak.
Don't give away the secrets. In a computer, it would be called an interrupt.
All right.
So a computer goes around, just does its same old thing, its own routine. So in a traffic light, if you go and push the button, you interrupt the CPU, and it says, oh, it wants me to run that program where I flash that little green man.
Oh, right. Okay. But some of Noel Coward's work was very, very humorous. Like, he sent up the British, like mad dogs and Englishmen, go out in the midday sun. He was writing about the people that lived in the tropics and had a gin and tonic to...
They had people to do for them.
Do, yes.
It was the upper class. Yes. It was upper crust, for sure.
And he sang a very lovely song called Matelot, singing about his boyfriend in the Navy, which is a very, very clever thing. He was also very popular with royals. He was a very good friend of Princess Margaret, and she used to stay on his island down in the Caribbean.
Mm. Wow, okay then.
Oh, where's my island?
In the sun.
Do we get an island each, and I'm just not aware of it?
he could afford it.
Another person from Britain who actually had a very good script writer and delivered lines beautifully was... the actor Nigel Hawthorne, another gay man.
Sir Nigel, wasn't he? Did he get a knighthood? I can't remember. But he was a
well. He's certainly in the thing. He was Sir Humphrey Appleby.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
He died 26th of December 2001. So he's been gone many a long year, but he had the scripts of the series Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister, where they were lampooning the public service and the government service getting things into Parliament.
I reckon they should bring that series back now, because it's still current with what's going on in parliaments all around the world at the moment. Bring back Sir Humphrey. I just say replay the original series, okay. Because nothing has changed. They're still the same. The government services and the public service.
Bunch of bumbling boobs.
Yes, something
like that. Well, we're going to have Ricky Martin, who's got a birthday round about this time, 24th of December 1971.
Oh, we like Ricky.
Christmas Eve.
Oh, we like Ricky. Yes. He came out to Australia quite recently for The Voice, that singing competition.
Yeah.
And he's still a pretty good looking man.
Oh, he's 47 year olds, but he's wearing very, very well.
Oh, is he?
He's got those Latin looks still.
It took him a while to come out, though.
Yes, it did.
Everybody in the world knew he was gay before he said so.
I mean, what age was he when he started his little boy band?
Eight.
Well, he didn't start it. He was just, they were like young talent time. You're only in there till you hit puberty and then you get kicked out.
But he was 8 years old when he started. Yeah.
Golly gosh, so the girls would have been queuing up.
They did.
What a waste of time.
He had a long-term relationship with one of his, with a woman as well.
Yeah, with a handbag.
Yeah. Probably.
You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Here's Ricky Martin.
La reina de la noche, la diosa del vudú. Y
canción. Te besa y te desnuda con su baile demencial. Cierras los ojitos y te dejas arrastrar. Tú te dejas arrastrar. Ella que serás, vive la vida loca y te dolerá si de verdad te toca. Ella es tu final, vive la vida loca. Ella te dirá, vive la vida loca.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Nearly Christmas. Nearly Christmas. Only got a few days to go.
I'm getting excited.
Good on you. I'm getting bored.
Well, I've done all my shopping.
Would you be singing at Christmas?
Yes, I've got a carol service or three to sing at.
Oh, right.
The least I can do is keep the little kiddies happy with my singing.
Will you be singing ring, ding, 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 ding from earlier in
sleigh bells.
Yes. Oh, it's not called ring, ding, 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 ding.
No, I think they're called sleigh bells, Phil.
They'd be ringing, wouldn't they?
One of the things that we do have to remember is in 33 years ago on Christmas Day was Cyclone Tracy.
Oh, right.
Santa never made it into Darwin.
Santa never made it
and
into
there
Darwin.
There was a song about that.
That's right. They wrote a song about that too, yeah, which raised a bit of money to help rebuild the place. But they rebuilt it very, very well. Yeah.
But those lucky kids in Darwin, I was quite jealous because they got a free flight in a jumbo jet. Yes. The jumbo jets had only just come out. They were evacuated.
My mother's bridesmaid was living in Darwin at the time too. She was an elderly lady and she had been there during the other cyclone that hit Darwin back in the 30s or something or other.
That's a term you don't hear very often.
What?
My mother's bridesmaid. Just doesn't come up in conversation.
But they'd gone to live up there again. They'd gone back to Darwin because they liked living there and they survived two huge tropical cyclones that hit Darwin about 30 or 40 years apart. Unbelievable. But you can be in the wrong place at the right time.
So all the people had to get evacuated out. Now, they sent the army in to fix that all up.
Yep.
Who was the boss master of the army?
Major General Stratton, was it? Was it Stratton?
It was Stratton, yes.
Yeah. And he did a very, very good job by getting it all together and sort of making sure that there was no looting and all the rest of it.
They must have used other body parts as well, like the leggy. You can't just have an army walking around fixing up a city. And which army? Was it the right army or the left army?
You could have had a...
How affectionate are you with your various limbs?
Thank you. That egg knob is really working.
It's not knob.
Oh, dear,
the lemons have legs.
I think they'll take us off air after this one.
Oh, no, look, I'm actually grateful for that a lot of kids are not around the city in this last week because they've already shot through. Their parents have taken them away for school holidays and everything.
Yeah.
And last week there was all that tension for those poor kids.
I think today's
that were waiting for their ATAR results.
Yeah, I think last week was the last day of school. I think they've all gone.
But
the
ATAR
results are a bit of a worry for a lot of people.
But what they did in Sydney is they released one day early the people who got the top marks. They got told a day before the plebs.
Oh, that's a very interesting concept.
I don't see the point of that, really.
No, I think they should all be released at once so everybody gets to know.
I think it's so they can get the faces on TV.
Oh, it could be. And, of course, the papers last Friday were fat with extra pages with it all written down.
Oh,
so
all the courses and stuff that they could be going on here.
We say to the kids, you know, you shouldn't stress out too much with your ATAR results. Life isn't always dependent upon your tertiary education.
Do you have an email from a listener, maybe?
Well, we might have actually had one of those.
Let's have a read.
It was interesting to hear from Gruen Transfer. Yeah, Gruen. The guy that's on that always wears the great T-shirts. He said he has never, ever asked, when he's employed somebody, he has never asked them what their ATAR score was. He always asks, what have you done to help somebody?
Yeah,
he doesn't worry about the ATAR score at all. He says,
what if their answer is, I helped somebody get a higher ATAR score?
Well, he might give them a job.
But it's only an entry into the next part of your life.
There is life outside university.
Yes. Is there?
Yes.
How do you
Mine
know
was.
Yeah.
And still is.
But the point is that education these days has gone to to try to get everybody to go to university, where there are people that are not...
And we have a shortage of tradespeople.
Yeah, and we don't have the resources to give these people the education. And a lot of the people get to the university and find out it's totally different to what they thought, because they have to do their own study and all the rest of it. It's not a controlled atmosphere.
Well, I think kids have had a fairly narrow life up to that particular point. They've been living at home. They've had perhaps a restricted opportunity to see the rest of the world. Their interaction with older part of the society is limited as well. Mm. And all of a sudden, the university becomes the great big wide world.
But my experiences with university are, I've been to Stanford. I had lunch there one day.
Oh.
went to the University of Michigan on a service call.
You're graduates from all these universities.
Yes. And I went to UC Berkeley in Northern California to see a Paul McCartney concert.
Well, you've been to
university. So I've been to three universities. Oh, and Melbourne University. I used to have a boyfriend there.
Did you?
Mm.
Oh, right, okay.
I've been to Melbourne University for a meeting. That's about it.
There is life outside university and through your education. Life is full of experiences.
It's like box of chocolates.
Yeah, the hard centres and soft centres?
No, you just never know what you're going to get.
Right. Okay, then.
Thank you, Forrest Gump.
Okay, well...
But this is the thing. So much is attached to that score, that so much is made of it. But you shouldn't worry about it, because it doesn't mean the end of the world.
And it's just testing. That's not your measure of your wisdom. It's your ability to answer the questions you've just been told. I had a question from a teacher in grade 5.
Did you?
Because I wasn't paying attention to him. And he said, "What were you doing while Rome burned?" And I gave him a very puzzled look. And he said, "You're sitting there fiddling. Were you fiddling while Rome burned?" Nero. I had no idea what he was talking about.
That's world experience Nero. Showing up.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
Look at the time.
Oh, look at the time indeed. It's probably time for us to say, have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, I guess we...
happy season of one sort or another.
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, that as well, yes.
And we're an hour closer to Christmas than when we started this chat.
And when we chat to you next, it'll be Boxing Day. Mm. And we'll be able to gloat and say how tight our tummies are still.
Is that possibly the day when you're allowed to go and punch people in the chest?
No, I don't think so.
Boxers do it. They get paid money for that.
Yeah, I see the Australian guy won the World Championships.
Mr. Horn
again. Well, there you go.
All right, then. Well, thanks very much for our pre-Christmas show.
Yeah, well, we'll just wish you the season's greetings, won't we?
Season's greetings, that's right. We're back on Boxing Day, and then we'll be able to say Happy New Year to you.
Don't eat too much.
And may the bluebird of happiness not poop on your presents.
Thank you, Phil. Bring out the eggnog. Yeah. Here we go. Right. Time for Slinky Minx.
Slinky Minx. What are they going to do?
Say that again without the eggnog.
Oh, that's a bit hard to do.
Slinky Minx.
What are Slinky Minx doing?
Well, whatever they're doing it another time.
Oh, all right.
No, I want them to do it now.
Yes.
All right, then.
We're here.
Here they come.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.